Job 33, verses 1 through 22. Today's message is entitled, Yet Man Perceiveth Not. As we enter the 33rd chapter of Job, we find that Elihu was asked, Job to pay attention to what he had to say. He has told Job that he was not to be feared. He was his friend, his mediator, and he wanted to help justify Job. But he contradicted those claims and condemning statements that he made to Job. He was not much different than Job's three other friends, his other tormenting friends. He had heard everything Job had to say to the three men and his claims, but he told Job, you are wrong. Elihu felt like the other men that Job had done something wrong. He too believed this is why Job was suffering. He could not accept Job's innocence. Elihu was upset about Job's complaints against the Lord. He told Job that God was unaccountable to anyone, and he was right about that. That Elihu was right about. Elihu explains to Job that God speaks to us, and he tries to get our attention over and over again, but we don't recognize his voice. We're not paying attention to him. Elihu was right. How often God is speaking to us over and over and over and over, but we perceive it not. Job 33:14 tells us. Well, let me start at verse 13 of Job 33. Why do you contend with him, with God? Why do you strive with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God may speak in one way and in another, yet man does not perceive it. Yet man does not perceive it. God is trying to get our attention. That is for sure, because he wants to fellowship with us. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears his voice, they'll open the door and sup with him. He wants fellowship with us. He wants what's best for us. In the Old Testament days, before we had the complete revelation of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's indwelling, the Lord spoke to his people in different ways. He spoke through a burning bush in Exodus. He spoke through clouds in Psalm 99. He spoke through a donkey in Numbers. He spoke through prophets, and he spoke through angels in Genesis 19. He also spoke to people in dreams as they slept, as mentioned in Job 33 in verses 15 through 18. He did this for several reasons, speaking to the people of old, his people of old. So often God spoke to them to caution them and to get them to change their conduct. Is it not the same with us? God spoke to keep them from becoming cocky and arrogant. I would say that's one of the charges against the church in America. Cocky and arrogant. We got it in a box. We got God in a box. And the verse I read earlier certainly would apply to the church today. In verse 13, why do you contend with God? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. Why is he doing what he's doing to you? Because it pleases him. Because it pleases him. He doesn't have to give an account of every single thing that he does. God also spoke in times past and today to save people and to keep them from crossing over into the pit of death, as we will see in our next study. He will keep people, men and women, boys and girls, from going to hell. God is still speaking to us today in order to give us guidance and to help us to know his will for our lives. What kind of father would you be if you didn't direct your child and God guide your child? He wants his will to be known in your life. The questions that come to mind when we think of God's will is, how do we know what the Lord is trying to tell us? How do we recognize his direction? How do we know his message and his will for us? How does the Lord actually speak to us today? These are important questions, especially when you have major decisions to be made in your life about college, about a career, about a job, about a marriage, about a big purchase like a house or a car. How does the Lord guide and give direction to us today? Does He write in the clouds, "Thou shalt buy this"? God will guide us with His counsel and with His direction. That is the problem sometimes. The very problem is we don't follow Him and let Him lead us. We're like the stupid sheep that just want to go their own way. We'll go our own way. How do we discern God's voice today so that we can have Him lead us and know His will for us? Let me say up front that you don't want to seek guidance and direction from several different avenues that I will look at. Several different avenues. First of all, you don't seek your guidance and your direction from atheists and from those that are against God. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You're not guided by way. You're not led by way. By the ungodly, you're not discussed in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Proverbs 19:27. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth you to err from the words of knowledge." We're not to listen to evil counsel that will cause us to stray from the words of knowledge. Another avenue that we don't seek guidance and leading from is from astrologers or horoscopes. How many people started this Lord's Day opening up the Sunday Bible, their Sunday Bible, and look for their horoscope? Look to an astrologer. Isaiah 8:19 says this, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living?" For the living to the dead? Should a people not seek unto their gods? Are we seeking counsel out of horoscopes and from astrologers? Isaiah 47:13-15, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee." You're looking for counsel. You're looking for wisdom from wizards, from astrologers, from stargazers, and the Lord would say to you, "Save them from those things that will come upon them. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them." You're looking to the world for your answers. Isaiah goes on and says, "They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame." Cleo, that knew all things, couldn't save herself when they came and they put the handcuffs on and took her away. The one that would predict the future. That's the Cleo I'm talking about. She knew all the answers except that the police were at the front door. She should have known to run out the back door. You don't seek guidance from arrogant attitudes and aims. The Lord told me, I know. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Man perceiveth not, because he leads so often leans upon his own understanding." Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That seems right now unto men and women. That seems right. Playing tennis over there, playing baseball over there, being on the slides over there, barbecuing, swimming, boating. That seems right. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, How do we discern God's message for us? How to discern God's message and will for your life? How do you perceive? How do you discern? How do you recognize? That's what the word perceiveth means. Discern, understand, recognize. How? First of all, you have to recognize His will and salvation. You start by being saved. If you're here today, or if you're hearing these words today and you're not a child of God, wisdom, knowing His will, knowing His way, starts with salvation. You start by being saved. You will not understand God's counsel and His leading until you come to Christ by faith. The Lord leads His people. This is, I lead my child. I don't lead the children down the street. I lead my own child. And so it is with God. He leads His people. You will not understand God's counsel and His leading until you come to Jesus Christ by faith. If you want His direction, you want His guidance, then you need to first of all listen to Him and put your trust in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation from hell. But isn't that why we go to astrologers and stargazers and wizards and every other thing for the answer? Because we don't want to come to God on His terms. We want to come to God on our terms. Yet man perceiveth not. If you're unwilling to accept the message of the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and arose from the grave, you won't be willing to accept any other direction and guidance from God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, they're spiritually perceived, they're spiritually recognized. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're sitting here today listening to the word go forth and it's foolishness unto you, it's because you don't have the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but he sure enough will receive the things of this world. You want to know God's will? First of all, come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You want to perceive the will of God? You want to know what God has to say? How God leads? How God guides? You go to the Scripture. The Scripture is where you get your guidance, your leading. There's no need for God today to use dreams to speak to us, because we have His written word, which gives us directions, gives us guidance, and gives us the principles to live by. The Bible is a blueprint. Biblical principles provide the Christian with boundaries and paths that will help him or her to know God's way. The Bible will tell you now as a child of God, don't be unequally yoked together. Don't marry an unbeliever. Before, when you were an unbeliever, that didn't make any sense to you. You got saved, and then you followed that principle, and the chances are you had a blessed marriage. And the chances are, if you didn't listen to God and said, I'm going to marry a pagan anyway, you know why? Because God told me. Chances are, you're living a hellish Christian life. Because you went outside of the Scriptures. You're seeking God's direction in your life, and if you prayerfully ask Him to speak to you through His Word, He will, if you will let Him and be patient. If you will wait upon Him and not with a cocky arrogance demand, I want an answer from you now. If you will humbly wait upon Him and follow the biblical example, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Wait upon the Lord. Go through the Scripture. See what the Scripture says about a certain thing that you're dealing with. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Lord wants His people walking in good works. It's been decreed for you. It's His will for you. But you get ahead of Him. You run ahead of Him. You don't want to wait. Psalm 19:8 says this: the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, causing your eyes to perceive, to recognize, to understand the commandments of the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You're guided by the scripture. You're guided first of all in salvation. You're guided by the scripture. As you read the Bible, the Lord, He will comfort you. He will challenge you. He will convict you of wrong. Isn't that usually the reason why you close those Bibles up? And then it becomes a day, it becomes 3 days, it becomes a week, it becomes 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Because you read something in the Bible that the Holy Spirit said, guilty! And you close the Bible up and you say, that's enough of guidance, that's enough of comfort. As soon as the conviction comes from the Word of God, let me go seek the counsel of unbelievers. Let me go seek the counsel of a horoscope and an astrologer. Let me go seek the counsel of some kind of dream or vision that God gave me outside of the Scriptures. As soon as you were convicted by the Word, at times, we will all get discouraged at what we're doing in life. Whether it be ministering in a church, working in the business world, being in charge of your own company, being a mother, working at home. In other words, something else can look better than what you've done. So often, that's what the Lord is teaching us. Wait, 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 over and over and over. And it's like, Lord, I'm bored to death. Wait. Wait, could it be you're bored to death because you're not satisfied in Him? You're seeking your peace somewhere outside of Him? It's so easy, regardless of your age, your profession, your location in life, to want to be someone younger, someone older, to want someone else's job, to live somewhere else on the planet. We think at times everybody's better off than us. Any job's more fulfilling than ours. Any place is more exciting than we are, where we are now. We always got to get the next thing. As I spoke to my brother early, that's what the pagan says. It's always one more thing. Why is it as believers it's the same with us? It's got to be one more thing, Lord. It got to be one more thing. I don't have the peace. I don't have the joy. I don't have the happiness. I'm not content. Let me ask you this question. Life would not be worth living if we stayed in a constant state of discontent. Aren't you tired of a discontented life? I'm talking to believers. Tired of living a discontented life. Our discontentment would cause us to move from one place to another, to never settle down, to never settle in, to always, I got to get that next thing. More, 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 more. How does the Bible fit into our discouragement, into our dissatisfaction? Does God give direction or solution about these things? And the question is yes. Our brother Paul spoke about that in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want. Notice, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am in, therewith to be content. You got to admit that Job was not content. He was continually over and over. If I could get God's ear and plead my case to Him, I would get this thing straightened out. I would have peace. I would have joy. Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state that I am, therewith to be content. The question is today to you, are you in that place? Have you learned to be content? Whatever the Lord has decreed for you. Do you have a peace? I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I've been rich, I've been poor. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul knew that God spoke, and Paul perceived. And the question is today, do you perceive? Will you perceive what God is saying to you? Do you understand what God is saying to you? Or is it constantly? Constantly. I got to get that thing. You never have peace. Why is that? Is it because Jesus Christ is not your treasure? He's not above all things and everything. That's why Paul said, I learned to be content in all things. It didn't matter. See, it didn't matter to Paul if what happened to Job happened to him. Even though Paul wasn't married and didn't have children, Paul learned that if his wife got killed, his kids got killed, the cattle got killed, the house got burned to the ground, his health went shot, he went to prison, he learned to be content with whatever this sovereign God and where is our Father has decreed for him. But you're not content. You like the spoiled kids. I want my way. And what's he saying in Job? 33, verse 18. Why do you contend with him? Why do you strive with God? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. You will learn in the book of Job all the hellish things that happened to Job, and at the end, God never says, and now let me explain it to you now, Job. Why do we constantly have God before our bar of judgment? And we stand as a judge with a gavel. First, we perceive God's will in salvation. Second, we perceive God's will through the scripture. Third, we perceive God's will by submission to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every single Christian. But unfortunately, many Christians don't have a clue what God wants them to do, or they don't care, because they're backslidden. They're backslidden, and they're spiritually cold. It's like the church at Laodicea. We're rich, we got no need of anything. No need of anything. Don't bother them that they're cold. It doesn't bother them that they're backslidden. The Bible says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's, you want to know God's will for you in your life? He wants you to be filled with this Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, under His control, yielded to Him each single day. Getting up in the Lord, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Everything I do, Lord, and do it with power from on high. Fill me with Your Spirit. Let me speak the word by the Spirit. Witness by the Spirit. Love my neighbor, love my wife, love my family by the power of the Holy Spirit. May I obey Your laws, obey Your commandments, love Your statutes by Your Holy Spirit. Yield it to Him. Do you think for a moment if you got up praying to God every day, it'd be like, no, get out of here. I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You don't want it because you want to fill yourself with the pleasures of this world. John 16:13. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into a little truth, half a truth. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself, but what He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. Wow, what a promise. And we're chasing the baubles and the frothiness and the foolishness of this world. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and He's going to teach you in all things. As I just saw before, a guy walking over there with a metal detector looking for jewels. 10 feet away from him is all the jewels in the world. Walking around. And here's jewels and rubies and diamonds getting thrown. Whoop! Didn't see that. Foolishness of man. And the Holy Spirit just causing me to look the whole time. And just to use that illustration. I guess he was right. He said, you'll use that later on, son. John 14:26. But the Comforter. The Comforter. Are you being comforted by Him? See? But the Comforter. The Comforter. Oh, I'm going to seek my comfort with drugs and booze and money and women and cars and houses and stuff. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. That doesn't sound like he was just another man. Will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. God will direct your path day in and day out. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those are pretty strong words. Those who are being led by the Spirit. The question is, are you being led? That's what your Bible says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Wow, what a way to live your life. God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, is going to guide you now and lead you to glory. But I want the glory of this world. I want to be the CEO, the ABC, of the XYZ, and give me glory, glory, glory. Where the Scripture says, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, you know what glory you got now? The cross. I'm going to give you the foolishness of the cross, and afterwards glory. The world offers glory now. That's what the church is intoxicated with now, glory. And the number one culprit of glory is the guy in the pulpit. He's the glory hound. Understand that rebellion and stubbornness can cause the Holy Spirit's gentle voice to be hushed by us. I'm not a big person with the wooing, but the Holy Spirit doesn't scream at you most times. He talks to you gently. And He most often talks to you with a scripture. And gently brings you a scripture. But rebellion, stubbornness causes the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So Paul's talking to children of God. He's saying, you are sealed unto the day of redemption, and he's saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So obviously, as children of God, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Willfully rejecting His leading. Willfully rejecting it. And then what happens? He lets us get ourselves all jammed. And then we're like the prodigal. He came to himself. With the head down and arms down and shoulders down. We pinned him. Tears in our eyes and our hearts. Lord, forgive me. And the Lord's like, all right, you got off the road at 63B. Come right back on there, and we'll continue from here. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Men perceive it not. Do you perceive that you can quench the Spirit? You're being warned today, you're being admonished, you're being exhorted today to not quench the Spirit. The word quench means to stifle, to smother, to suppress. When you want to live a carnal, worldly life, you're going to quench the Holy Spirit, refusing to fit into the simple mold of this world, though. On the other hand, will help you to find the path that God has for you. You've heard me many times over the years teaching in the book of Romans. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, you give God a present, your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice, so that for this purpose, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not that God doesn't want you to know His will. It's His will that you would know His will. But Paul beseeches you, he begs you, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, and then you would prove. But we perceive it not. But I don't think really it's that we perceive it not. I don't think we want it. I think we perceive it full well. But I think we're a verse before God speaks and we perceive it not. God spoke and we do perceive it. But we don't want to be accountable to that God who's unaccountable. We want to do our own thing. So we don't present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we run around so often, believers, oh, Pastor Bill, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. What they're really saying is, Pastor Bill, would you help me take this idol and go out back and dip it in some gold with me? And we'll pull it out and I have a Christianized idol. When His will very often is very clear, very simple. Can it be any clearer than present your body as a living sacrifice? Are you doing that today? Are you doing it right now? Are you hearing things right now? You're going, oh, no way, no way. I ain't doing that. Who do you think he is? God, saying about God, first of all, and then the guy bringing you the message. And he perceived it not. Quenching the Spirit. You must present your body in order to prove what is that good, acceptable, and notice, perfect will of God. It's good. It's acceptable. Can you imagine that? It's good. Paul, you're getting beaten with 39 stripes. That's good. That's good there. You're going to prison. That's good. According to the world standards, that's not good. According to this body of death, that's not good. This body of death doesn't like pain, doesn't like sacrifice. That word sacrifice, living sacrifices. This body of death is not good. The only sacrifice this body of death wants is sacrifices to itself. You sacrifice to me. Knowing God's will is salvation. Knowing God's word through the Scripture. Knowing God's word through the Holy Spirit. Knowing God's word and His will by supplications to the Lord, praying to the Lord to help you perceive. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go. Isn't that true? It's not until I have anywhere else to go. All the little pants went down and were all closed up. You get run down those pads and you get to the end of it and there's a concrete wall. Turn around, run down the path, and then go down another one. Another concrete wall. Or maybe you get down a path and there's a ditch there. Many times, nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Abraham Lincoln was right. Imagine having to deal what he had to deal with. Hundreds of thousands of countrymen slaughtering each other day in and day out. The whole country in chaos. And isn't it so often the Lord permits us to go to that place of chaos? perceive it? Not. I think not. I think we perceive it full well. Full well. Prayers will help you to know God's will for your life. It'll lead you to solutions of problems that you're facing right now. Ask the Lord for guidance in prayer. Like I said, you think He's going to say, no, get out of here. He's promised to answer your prayers. He's bound Himself by His word to answer your prayers. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Perceive it not? Could it be you don't want to perceive? You don't want to consider? You don't want to understand? Because you know what's demanded is that living sacrifice. Let me ask you the question. Do you know how to pray? I'm not talking about praying by a rope. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm not talking about praying like that. Do you spend time praying? Do you realize God will direct your life through prayer and supply your needs? You can read thousands of books, testimonies of the saints that have prayed, and God has answered their prayers. Discernment through prayer, guidance through prayer, through the scripture, through the Holy Spirit. Also, another way to perceive the things of God, God's will, is with the saints of God. I started off by saying, don't seek counsel from the ungodly, seek counsel from the godly. God has placed upon our paths believers that can provide instruction and guidance that will help us to mature and grow in the Lord. When you get saved, the Lord brings somebody along you with a little bit more wisdom, and then a little bit more, and you grow and you grow and you grow. The Lord brings you in touch with different preachers, different Bible teachers. And you never get past that. The moment you think that you learned, that you know, is the moment you stop learning and the moment you stop knowing. I still study every single day. I haven't reached no place that you can't study. I want to know God's will. I want to learn from those that went ahead of me. I want to learn from those that have finished the race 50, 60, 70, 80 years in the faith. I want counsel from them, even though they're dead. And the ones that are alive, I want counsel from. You want as much wisdom as you can from the saints. And it doesn't matter where you are in life. If you're a homemaker, if you're a plumber, if you're a carpenter, it doesn't matter where you are in life. You are able to bless those that are less than you in the faith. Less than you in the faith, meaning they're not as mature as you. You seek godly counsel. How do I perceive the will of God? It really means that you want to perceive God's way and don't look for an excuse. When the saints try to help you out, don't be, yeah, well, that's nice, and then I'm still going to do what I want to do, though. That's why Ephesians 4 said, and He gave some as teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not the whores that are putting out the health and wealth to lead the saints of God off the side of a cliff. He told Jeremiah, I'll give you a pastor after my heart. And they'll tell you the things of God, even though they may be hard at times. You can't read Jeremiah and say, man, that's hard. You can't read Lamentations, don't say, that's sad. I will give you teachers according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. How do I discern the will of God? You go around godly people. You go around godly teachers. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. you come alongside a mature believer, and they bring forth spiritual principles to you, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Any counsel that you might get from other Christians should be carefully checked with the Scripture. As much as is possible, any counsel you receive must line up with the Scripture. Also, seek counsel and suggestions from your parents, and I said from godly friends. God will work through your parents' counsel and advice when that counsel is in line with the Scripture. If your parents are pagan, I'm not talking about their counsel. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 1:8-9. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains around your neck. Seek the godly counsel of your mom and your dad. Psalm 77:20. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Godly friends, godly leaders. How do I know the will of God? Another way to perceive, to discern, to understand is peace. The Holy Spirit will give you peace about decisions that you're about to make. He'll make your path clear and plain. Not saying when, you know, you originally hear something, it's like, I don't know about that. That seems a little... And as time goes on, the peace doesn't come over you. It's not to understand. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. See, when you're ready to make a dopey move, it's like, slow down. That's not wise. That's not my way. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the righteous is made plain. So what kind of father would I be? My daughter wanted my help, and I go, you see that cliff right over there? That's right where you want to go. Just run full speed right off the edge of that cliff. God gives peace when your decisions are in line with the Scripture. As I said earlier, so many times believers marry unbelievers. Not in line with the Scripture. The Lord ain't giving you peace about that. He gives peace when your counselors seem to be in agreement about what decision you need to make. You sit down with numerous counselors. Also, and this is what Job had to learn, and this is what many of us don't want to learn, myself included, is God oftentimes tells us what His will is and guides us into His will by suffering. God speaks to us through suffering that He allows in our lives, as He did to Job. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but He shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf ear. P.T. Forsyth said, it is a greater thing to pray for pain's conversion than its removal. Not so much, Lord, remove this painful thing, but turn it around and use it for your glory. That's what Paul learned, to do with his thorn in the flesh. What might have been a weapon to tear him down became, by the grace of God, a tool to build him up. That very thing that causing you suffering is the very tool the Lord said, that's the thing I'm going to use to make you more into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. Because that is definitely His will. You want to know His will for you, if you're a child of God, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, that's His will. Amen. Now, if He wants you to buy that 62 Bonneville, I don't know. I can't tell you. George Meyer, 62 Pontiac Bonneville. But His will is that you would be conformed into the image of His glorious Son. And so often, it is through suffering. So often, the suffering may be for the purpose of developing maturity in faith, or it may be for the purpose of chastisement. The Lord uses it in numerous ways. If you've been wayward, if you've been backslidden, the Lord may bring something real ugly into your life. And it'll be a little tag that written on that suffering that He brings. Repent! Repent! As you see, Job will do eventually. Instead of holding God accountable, I'm vile. I'm a worm. Elihu spoke about suffering in verse 19. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. As I heard one old preacher say the other day, many times the Lord will put you on your back in order to cause you to look up to Him. Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. See, when everything was coming up roses, boy, you had no time with God. Then all of a sudden, the affliction comes and it's, oh Lord, where are you, Lord? It's like, I didn't go nowhere. Lastly, discerning God's will through the stress, the strains, and the needs of others. God can use the needs of others to give you direction about His will. Many ministries have been started because of people's needs. We are here at Cape Coral because years ago I used to watch Nightline and see Cape Coral, all the foreclosures, all the people losing their houses, all the people that were living in the woods. I said, how is this happening? Is there something I can do? And the Lord, by different acts of providence, made the way clear, opened the door, and we stand here today because of the needs of other people, discerning the will of God through the needs of other people. Acts 16:9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over here into Macedonia and help us. Discerning the will of God by the needs of other people. The people in the nursing home saying, come over here. We need something here besides staring at that stupid TV set. Come over here. Come over here. Discerning the will of God by the needs of other people. We're here today because of the needs of other people. As believers, we are called to walk in the Spirit. You want to perceive the will of God? You must walk in the Spirit. Like I said, I don't think it's that we don't perceive the will of God. I think we perceive it full well. We know exactly what it is. Be conformed unto the young son of the Son, Jesus Christ, who presents your body as a living sacrifice. I think you perceive that. I think you understand that. I think the promise with this body of death that has to tend to itself, indulge itself, doesn't want to give itself over. Walking in the Spirit with the power of the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, yet many Christians feel more natural, more comfortable walking in the flesh and ignoring God. Yet man perceiveth not. No, I think man perceiveth full well. But he wants to be comfortable. He wants to live his life for himself. You can have it your way. After all, you deserve it. Why do you think the commercial is so popular? Why do you think it hits home? You deserve it. After all, you've earned it. The only problem with that is a believer that says that your life is not your own. It was bought with a price by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died, ransomed your life, He purchased your life. You're no longer your own. You are a slave of unrighteousness. You've been purchased by the Son of righteousness. and you're his slave now. And the master of the house says, slave, I want you to do this. And that is just revolting to an American. I can cast my vote for freedom. And Jesus Christ said, no, I run a theocracy here. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I bought you, you're my slave. And you open up that word and you pray to me. And I'll full well tell you what my will is. And most times when you first hear it, you're not going to like it. But I would ask you the question, as Dr. Boyce used to ask, but is it the truth? What you heard today, is it the truth? Is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Sit down with godly people, ask them, are these truths true? Has it been your life? Has this taken place in your life? And if they're walking in the Spirit, they'll say, yes, they have. And there's nothing worse as a Christian wanting their own will. I've been a pagan. I've been a Christian that wanted my own will. And I've been a Christian that wants to walk in the Spirit. And the most nauseating thing is a Christian wanting their own will to be done. Because the Holy Spirit will speak with a quiet, gentle voice. But you want to live your life for yourself, and He will never, ever give you peace because He loves you too much. Perceive it not. God speaketh not, perceive it not. I think not. I think he perceived it full well. Our responsibility is to get guidance, get direction from the Lord, and to do his will. That's the secret of happiness, joy, and fruitfulness. Submission, not my will be done, but your will be done. You want to know why you're miserable? That's why you're miserable. Christ is facing death. Nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. What do you think his body would say? Oh, yeah, that's great. You'll be slaughtered. And not only that, but your father's going to turn away from you because you're going to take the sin of your people upon yourself. But nevertheless, Father, your will be done. And we'll go to churches. Churches will be packed up today. We'll get out of church, get in our nice comfy car to our nice comfy house, and eat our nice comfy food. And basically tell God, we got no time for you. I'll see you next Sunday. Or maybe I'll give you a little prayer. Father, we thank you for this food. Amen. God speaks. God may speak in one way, or he may speak in another. Yet man does not perceive it nor understand it. You as a child of God, you understand it. You perceive it. You know exactly what it is. And I know you do because the Holy Spirit is saying, amen, 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 amen. That's the truth. Amen. That's what I want. That's what you need to do. And the person that's living their own life is like, dude, shut up. Get it over with. Let's get it over with. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will cause us to walk in the Spirit.